iHeart Podcast.
What's up, bozos? Welcome to We Know It's Parenting. I'm Peter McGurney.
What's up, nuts?
No, don't go. Come back. Wait. We'll try again. We'll be better.
It's so great to have you with us. If you're returning or if you're new to the pod, welcome.
Welcome.
This is a podcast, bozos. Not about being parents, about us being parents. And how we're doing, what we think, what we don't know.
It's not about being parents. You didn't think for one second about what you were going to say when you started recording.
My life?
You say that like it's a thing I've ever done?
You're just like, it's just occurring to you on the air, like, that this is a podcast and that you need to have sort of like a sense of, give a sense to the audience of what this podcast is.
I did have that thought. I was like, it's been months since we've explained what this is.
This is a parenting podcast where we catch up on our lives and our children and
we try to grow and learn.
We don't knows what we're doing, and that's kind of the point of
we
this
knows.
Podcast.
We don't knows.
Yeah, we don't know. Clearly, this week, we don't knows.
Oh my God, can we talk about this week?
Okay, yeah, what's...
I think it was a great week.
It was a great week, and I was sick all week.
Yeah, but...
You keep talking about this week like you're... We got away from our kids for a little bit.
Entire week.
And... I was sick the entire time.
Yeah.
And you kept being like, it was the best week ever.
I'm not speaking for you. But it's
so
like...
Your just statement just feels slightly detached from the reality that I was experiencing.
Could have been worse. You could have been sick with kids.
Yeah,
but again, I'm not trying to say Beth had the best week of her life. I didn't even have the best week of my life. And I didn't, you know what I did? I caught up on work. I slept in and I went out for drinks one night with adults.
Yeah, we did go out for drinks. That was pretty crazy.
That was nuts.
Can
you hear my voice? I had to scream because the music was too loud. That's what a fun time I had.
Your voice is rough from 2 days ago?
Yeah, I had to scream to force my opinions on people when the music.
I'll tell you what, I was kind of sore this weekend because I was dancing as a dancing queen.
A dancing fool.
I went crazy. I was like, I'm out.
I'm free. Whoa. And that was the end of the week where you weren't as sick. And
yeah.
So you're like, I'm free, baby.
Well, I went to see a movie with my friends that night. And then we stopped by this party. So I was like, I'm just going to go to this party for like 1 hour and just go hard. And because I was like, I can just have like one drink. And I was ready to do it. And I did.
And you did. And we didn't drink too much. We didn't go that hard.
I also, my friends and I got kind of yelled at in the movie theater for talking during a movie.
What'd you do?
I was just like, commenting on an incredibly bad movie that we saw, and
you're gonna throw the movie under the bus? What is it?
I feel bad saying what it was, but it was The Photograph.
I've never heard of this movie.
It's like a romance. It was just very dramatic, which is not my style of movie, and I just was not like. There was so much dialogue where they were just trying to set up exposition very quickly, and it was just hard to stay engaged in the movie because I was laughing so much at like the pacing of the dialogue. Like they'd be like 2 seconds into these characters meeting, and he would be like, "Do you have a boyfriend?" And she's like, No, I dumped my boyfriend when he proposed to me. I was just like, that is such a shocking thing to say to someone when you immediately
We got to get the exposition
meet
out.
Them. Anyway.
But you were with your girlfriends and you guys had
the giggles. Enjoy it. I did laugh a lot.
It was like Maven at bedtime tonight. She got a big laugh. I don't know what she said, but Bryn gave her a big old laugh. And she goes, and it basically was like, I need to repeat that thing over and over. And Bryn's not laughing, so I'll say it louder. And then she just laughed at everything for the sake of laughing.
They've been having these moments where they turn to each other, like while they're watching a Disney movie, and they're like, did you see that? And like, they're so excited to turn to each other and be like, that's insane.
I have to tell you, we were listening to music before bedtime. We're just on the couch listening to some music, which is nice. And they were like talking about the instruments and what they could hear. And there's a line in the song it's a Mason Jennings song where he says he talked to a shrink. And Bryn turns to me and goes, Daddy, this is a fiction story. I go, what? He goes, this song is fiction. And I'm like, actually, I think this is a nonfiction song. It's about Mason Jennings' alcoholism. So I was like, I think this might be nonfiction. He goes, but Daddy, that's impossible. I'm like, why? He goes, you can't talk to a shrimp.
I lost the thread of what we had.
It's like, I will wait as long as it takes for you to laugh. In the song, Mason Jennings says he's going to talk to a shrimp.
Okay. All right.
And Bryn, it was a long time until I was like, you can't talk to a shrimp, though.
I did see Bryn made what looks like a set list of Mason Jennings songs, and he started making a list, and it's like three Mason Jennings songs, and then at the end it just says Baby Beluga.
Maven requested a different playlist after three songs. She's big into Raffy right now. Well, I don't, at least Baby Beluga is like her jam.
Where did she hear this at daycare?
I think I played it for some reason. We were talking about sea creatures one day, but she recognized it. I think she heard it from daycare, and so now she requests
She it. Has like started recognizing songs in a way that I find really funny, because she'll hear a song and she's like, Mommy, you have this song. Yeah. Or like, and she said it about the music from A Star Is Born came on like some show the other day, and someone was like karaoke singing on the show one of the
like
songs.
That person's singing your song.
And they're singing Shallow, and Maven was like, that's your song.
Mommy, you're off the deep end.
I am off the deep end. Watch as I dive in.
You know what
only,
I did?
Only the best taste in music.
For three songs, we were talking about instruments. Maven gets it and she's focused. Bryn was just trying to boss us around. He goes, you play the bass, I'll be the guitar. And then he faked playing guitar.
She is going to be a rock star, because she was born in the parking lot of the School of Rock.
That's true. But she wanted to play the drums. And go ahead. Sorry.
I posted this video to Instagram last week. I don't think we talked about this, where Maven is playing harmonica while you're playing guitar. And I swear to God, I watched this video. Like, I filmed this as she was playing, and it was like she was playing the most beautiful, sad song I've ever heard. And I was just like, and she was like on beat with the guitar, and it was just like so heartbreaking to watch her. And I feel like other people who saw it on my Instagram were like, whoa. It's just like, she's like, I just feel like she has like a connection
to
music.
I'll say that's, yes, absolutely. I was impressed with her rhythm. Like, she was playing melodies along with it. That being said, a harmonica, the way the notes are stacked.
No, I get that it's like,
so I was playing chords to make all of the notes be correct. So she couldn't play a wrong note. But yes, it's still like her rhythm.
I understand it's the harmonica, so it's like a little,
she was listening and playing with me. And that combined with she couldn't play a wrong note created a very impressive
Yeah.
Soloing just, a little 3-year-old John Popper.
She played a song that I would like sincerely listen to as like if I was like putting on background music. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, this is haunting. It was, oh God. Anyway.
We've talked about this before that like, you're most impressed with me when it comes to music.
Yeah, because I'm so bad at music. Well, because I love creative things, and I'm like reasonably good. I'm good at drawing. I'm like reasonably good at a lot of things. Like I can kind of sing, but when it comes to playing, I can kind of sing, but I know notes.
You
if
hit
I'm
the
singing.
Notes,
but
neither one of us have incredible tone.
No, I don't have.
But we hit the notes.
I don't have a beautiful singing voice, but
I think you do.
Oh, but I cannot. My brain does not do instruments. Like my brain doesn't like numbers. I just like don't want to think about it. It's just not how my brain works.
Well, your kid's got it.
Did Bryn?
Bryn is musical.
Oh, he's into math. But I haven't seen him be that musical.
Well, he is performative. Like, he likes to sing. And so I think the idea...
Oh, yeah. He's a good singer.
The storytelling aspect of it, he really connects with. But Maven does have better rhythm. So anyway, we sat together. And if your kid is into this, Maven was for 3 full songs. She was a little testy at one point, so I like gave her a hug and she sat on my lap and we sat on the couch in the semi-dark here playing Mason Jennings songs, and I just grabbed, she's sitting on my lap, and I grabbed both her hands and I just played the hi-hat and the snare drum with her hands. I was just going and she not only like indulged me, but she was focused on this for 3 full songs. And when I tried to like change to talk to Bryn, she'd grab my hands and bring them back. And then later I heard her going, do-do-ka-ta, do-do-ka. And I was like, yes.
See, that'll be your little musician daughter.
Little drummer girl. Hey, yeah, little drummer girl. You and me, and we get the Hawaii world. Mason Jennings, if anyone hasn't heard, my favorite Minnesota singer-songwriter. I recommend Birds Flying Away, the album.
I really like, what's it called? Minnesota, the album?
What's a good one.
What's the one where he's like...
It's a lot of piano.
A lot of piano. That's one I like.
Well, there's nothing better than Birds Flying Away and his debut Mason Jennings album, but Minnesota's might be...
Anyway.
In my next one.
This is the music podcast.
Welcome back to our music podcast. Music heads.
Music heads.
McNerney and Newell. Music heads.
We've got heads.
What if we started hitting our stories half? Like, you into music? Oh, we're real music heads. So, our children are back.
Our children are back.
Okay, huge shout out to your parents who had our children the whole week. Camp Nana and Granddad was a smashing success. And
I know. I think they all had a lot of fun.
They all did, I think. I'm sure your parents got tired of them at some point.
They must have been exhausted. My parents would periodically send us photos of them, just like whatever they were doing. And it was always like sort of just destroying the house, like rolling around in a yoga mat or like, you know, just like... fun.
Just being them.
Being weird. And they were having a ball.
Having a ball. We should just, we should have them live there.
I know. It really makes you just never want to have them. Like, it was so strange to be in our own home without them.
Yeah. And like, we went out to dinner, just the two of us, a couple times.
Yeah.
And then we also ignored each other a whole lot. And both those things were great.
Yeah. The dinner would have been more fun if I was like, could eat food comfortably with my illness.
True.
But it was nice to, yeah.
Also, the woman to whom we paid money for an Airbnb.
We canceled our Airbnb because I was sick.
We canceled Airbnb that was, you know, like the day of, so cancellation policy. So we'd even try to get money back. But she called us 2 days later and was like, we feel so bad that your wife was sick. Please come stay anytime. You've already paid for it. And I was like,
that's very sweet.
Thank you. And then I got an email from Airbnb asking us to review the place. And I was like, oh, she got the same email. Either way, I gave her a 5-star review for a place that I've never been.
That's where Airbnb, the service, becomes way better with like regular people and not companies. You know what I mean? Like they're more dependent upon you liking what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. You're dependent on each other. Our last Airbnb was a little weird when we left and that woman called me and was like, I can't get my cable back. I was like, I didn't touch your cable. And I was like on the phone troubleshooting how to find her cable channels.
Okay.
For
anyway, yeah. Let's.
But I missed our kids.
I did. It was nice to miss them.
And they seem like, again, like 10 years older.
Yeah, they're huge.
So I had to do a late pickup today for me. I had a late audition. So I had to pay for Maven to stay late. And so I got back sooner than I thought, but I know Maven was already getting dinner. So I picked up Brandon. Brennan and I had solo dinner. And he just decided to ask. He's like, one-on-one daddy time. That's when I ask questions. And he goes, what language is it when you say, Retty? And I was like, well, that's English. What do you mean, accent? He goes, yes, Retty. I'm like, I think you're doing an English accent. He goes, it's not Irish.
What language is it?
Yeah. And then he started talking about something, a topic I have been avoiding, which is the topic of presidents. Which I'm like, I don't wanna talk about Donald Trump with my son.
You're so scared about talking about it with anyone.
Yeah. But Bryn brought it up. He's like, you know George Washington? And I was like, yeah, do you? He's like, yeah, tri-corner hat. I go, yeah. He goes, I know another president with a hat. Cylinder, flat top. He goes, he said like, Abraham Lincoln. it was something that was a little off. I was like, Abraham Lincoln? He goes, yeah, that's what I said. Abraham Lincoln. He's like, I know 4 different presidents. George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Bibbidi Bobbidi. Then he just started laughing hysterically. He goes, just kidding. I only know 3. And then I listed every single president in order because I can do that and I'm proud of it.
You think in the future, it feels like they do only teach kids like 2 presidents. They're like, these are the highlights. I feel like in the future, it'll be like George Washington, Lincoln, Obama. Like
there's a lot of people in this country who would probably not agree with you. But I know why they teach those 2 because it was President's Day weekend. And President's Day weekend involves Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Don't they have like the same birthday or something? I don't know.
They're like 2 days apart.
Oh, yeah. They're a few days apart.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's more like President's Week. Then that's when Lincoln said 47 years ago, send your kids off to the in-laws.
What?
And have a break, because that's what it means to me now. Pretend it made sense what I just said.
God, just so disrespectful to the history. This next segment is...
Is what, Beth? What is it?
You pointed at me as I started talking, so it sounded like you were not rolling until midway through me talking, so I paused so you could reset.
It's okay. I don't remember doing it. You're probably right, but I'm not going to go back. I love you. Try again.
You are so distracting. This next segment is called Would You Knows. It's where we present each other with parenting hypotheticals.
No, that's not what it is.
That's what you told me it was.
No, I said, did you knows? I did. I'm keeping this in, too.
Well,
but I support
if
you.
I wasn't interrupted during my original...
I genuinely apologize.
You could have just reset.
I could. I know, but it's too far now.
We must torture our listeners with this. Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead, intro.
This is called... Now it's time for Did You Knows? This is where we talk about something we've learned or read. And I read a very interesting article from the New York Times. It was written by Kate Murphy very recently. You may have read it if you read it. I'm just going to read the beginning of this because I found it very relatable. You're not listening. Here's why. You're not listening. Let me finish. That's not what I said. After I love you, these are among the most common refrains in close relationships. During my two years researching a book on listening, I learned something incredibly ironic about interpersonal communication. The closer we feel towards somebody, the less likely we are to listen carefully to them. It's called the closeness communication bias, and over time, it can strain and even end relationships. Once you know people well enough to feel close, there's an unconscious tendency to tune them out because you think you already know what they're going to say. It's kind of like when you've traveled a certain route several times and no longer notice signposts and scenery. But people are always changing. The sum of daily interactions and activities continually shapes us. So none of us are the same as we were last month, last week, or even yesterday. The closest communication bias is at work with romantic partners when romantic partners feel they don't know each other anymore, or when parents discover their children are up to things they never imagined. It can even occur when two people spend all their time together and have many of the same experiences. It's a much larger article, but you get the idea.
That is fascinating. I really relate to this.
I think I do too.
Especially in the sense that, like, weeks like this one, if I'm not feeling well, my instinct is just to like, try to like rest and not like I don't want to like monologue about how I'm feeling, and then you'll say things to me about how it's like the best week ever, and I'm like, did you notice that I was like ill? Like,
right? No, I didn't. I mean,
I have this experience frequently. I feel like because I'm not like. I don't like sometimes I'll speak up about something once, but I don't like constantly bring it up. And then I just am like, oh, this people are not aware of the things I said.
Well, and this is one of those instances where, again, like in a good way and a bad way, I'm not thinking about you when I say that.
I mean, none of us are thinking about each other is the thing. We really are, like, all of us are just in our own world.
Well, I think about this specific thing a lot as an improv teacher, where I'm trying to get people who don't know each other that well because they're in a class to try to create the illusion of intimacy, the illusion of familiarity. Like to play characters that know each other with improvisers that don't know each other that well, You have to click into this. You have to trick yourself into being so comfortable with somebody that you don't listen to everything they say. And so when you come into an improv scene, you're nervous. People are listening so hard that it's artificial. And so it's that weird thing of like tricking your brain into acting like it already knows. And so, yeah, I think all the time, we've talked about this where, especially when things are tense between us and there's like hard times and I'm angry, it feels like, and I know you probably feel the same of that, like I'm doing work, I'm trying and you're not trying at all. And then you like sometimes years later, I realize, oh, you're very different. And I think this is part of it, which is like, I don't know. It's hard to notice the other person making an effort because your brain is not looking for it. It's blind to it. And you're like, I know you.
Right.
I know what you do. And that's why also sometimes you'll say a thing or I'll say a thing and the other person will immediately extrapolate upon this and give it the credit of every bad thing you've ever done instead of actually dealing with the one thing.
But it's hard not to. When something fits a pattern you've experienced, it's hard not to see the pattern when you're like, oh, it's happening again. Like,
yeah, yeah, sure. I mean, that's obviously it's not a black and white thing. It's incredibly complicated. But I've never thought about it this way. And of course, I thought about it selfishly first, where I'm like, yeah, Beth does this to me. And then I was like, okay, well, I definitely do this to her too.
I do think like when people are discussing like sensitive issues, like when you're carefully wording something, there's always like two interpretations to what you're saying. Like when you're trying to be diplomatic, you're kind of like weighing both sides out loud. Like people hear what they want to hear if they're assuming you're coming from a malicious place.
Yeah. You know, I think this is, we get on each other's cases sometimes about tone. And where I think the more both of us try really hard to be diplomatic, that's usually when the other person's like, you're talking to me so condescendingly.
Because for you, it starts to take on this slow lecture tone that it does appear so condescending. You're like, well...
Yeah, oh, I feel exactly the same way when you do it. And it's totally ironic because I have learned that like, oh, this is you putting in an effort, and I have to turn this part of my brain off, that the part of my brain that's going, oh, I know what you're doing, and I know you because I know you. There's nothing you can tell me because I know you.
Yeah.
It's hard. It is like it's an incredible thing that your brain does, is that there's just like endless amounts of sensory information coming in all the time. And so it automatically has all of these processes to filter out irrelevant information and just give you the things to pay attention to. And the more you get to know a person, they get filtered out. I just want to finish that thought.
One important point for women, I think, to take away from this is to get more comfortable repeating ourselves. Just spoon feed it over and over again. These are the demands. This is what I need. Women are not told to be persistent. It's like, okay, you.
Yeah. I mean, obviously everyone's different, but you hate repeating yourself.
I do. It just feels laborious. I'm like, what? We already had this conversation.
And I was raised to hear things the fifth time, and I say things 12 times, and there's no weight to it for me. And it has taken me a long time to understand.
We've covered this on the podcast. Low context versus high context.
When you repeat yourself, I appreciate it, and I can tell that it's an effort, and I can tell you're trying not to be upset about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm realizing I need to do that with more people.
Yeah, I think you do. And it's hard. I mean, I know that it's hard for you, and I understand why.
Well, because it's like, it feels, I know this is not the case, but in the moment it feels malicious because it like, you forget egotistically that people just forget things. Like people forget things all the time. They forget like most of what you're telling them all the time. But sometimes when you're like thinking back on when you were telling them it and it was like a very important, momentous like thing, like you're like overcoming a lot to get the words out in a moment that felt very weighted. And mm-hmm. then that person just like completely forgets. It's like, it's hard to, in the moment when you're like, your brain is like, did they forget or do they just not care? Like, it's hard to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah. Well, I think you really absorb and consider everything you hear, but you also put pressure on yourself to be thoughtful. And so it is, you put more effort into it and other people don't. And I think that's like a shitty deal.
Yeah. Well, I need to learn how to be less thoughtful with people.
Yeah. I mean, yes. I mean, just like, but I think you are. I mean, in terms of like giving it less weight.
Yeah.
So bravo.
Thank you.
This really did make me think about that. Like, again, I appreciate you a lot right now. And it's a lot of little things like this where I'm just like, oh, I'm trying hard to notice things that I think have fallen into this filter that this article talks about, which is just be like, well, I know about you and that's set. And to try to like keep looking at moments and times with fresh eyes. It goes, well, what's happening now? What's literally happening now? Am I seeing?
I'm evolving at a rapid pace and you can't be on last month's timeline.
It's like our kids. I don't want to miss it, you know? They grew up so fast. Wives. Anyway, great article. Read the rest of it.
Thank you for sharing.
This has been Did You Knows?
This segment is called Would You Knows? This is the segment where we present each other with parenting hypotheticals.
This is it.
It's happening.
All right, great. So, we got an email from one of our fave listeners, Sarah, who's written in a couple times, along with her daughter, Elizabeth, who's written us some Would You Knows. And Elizabeth, Sarah's daughter, has written us another one. Are you ready for this? Hi, Beth and Peter. Elizabeth and I are still out here listening, but we got behind over the summer and fall with vacations and my work travel schedule, so we're getting all caught up episode by episode during our commute to school. Elizabeth has wanted to write a parenting hypothetical for a while now. I have been delaying trying to get more caught up on episodes. She decided about a week ago to write you about Beyblades. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But I think Beyblades are like an anime style, like tops, like spinning tops that you like battle with other ones.
Okay.
So here I am writing you on Sunday night. Disclaimer, the situation below was dictated entirely by her. So good luck. One night you go to bed thinking that the next day will be great because you will have a special dinner to yourself without your kids. Oh, you know us, Elizabeth. When you wake up, you have shrunk into a Beyblade. And your house looks totally different. Two kids come into the room that you are in. They pick you up and put these giant things on you. And then you go flying out of nowhere into a big arena. Then the kids start yelling, "You go get that Beyblade!" And they say, "Go get him! You guys don't know what to do and keep bumping into each other." And then one of you splits into three pieces. You are now trapped in a world where you and your kids are Beyblades. And you have to find your way out in 10 days. Because in this world, 10 days is one day in your world. So you can go to your special dinner. What do you do? Have a great evening, Sarah and Elizabeth fans.
Wait,
in Georgia.
What was the last part? I totally spaced it.
You're the worst listener.
No,
for these.
You just trailed off right at the important part.
Oh, okay. So we have 10 days in Beyblade world, which is one day in the real world. We need to get out. Otherwise, we're going to miss our big date that we get to have without our kids. And one of us is broken into three pieces. And we're Beyblades.
I don't know how one propels oneself when one is a Beyblade. I don't know how you would get out of this world. I don't know why it has a different frame of time than we have here in the real world.
I gotta say, I don't know the answer to that.
I know
intriguing
nothing
details.
About Beyblades. In my mind, this is the Pogs of 2020.
I don't know if it's as big
or as
maybe,
Pogs.
Or maybe much bigger than Pogs.
Nothing's as big as Pogs was for me.
You were the prime age for Pogs, weren't you?
Yeah. I mean, Pogs are also just, they were so cheap. It was like 10 cents a Pog. And that was the only form of consumer culture that I was like able to participate in on any level. Like, there were other stuff. It was like, you were like, well, maybe I'll get a toy once a year on Christmas that will be some random thing I didn't ask for. But, like, I didn't have, like, other kids had, like, on demand, like toys, like action figures and stuff. And I just never had that. So Pogs was like, I was like, I'm giving money to a person and getting a thing that is a cool thing for kids to have. You know?
Did you have a, my little brother, Sam, had a giant tub of Pogs. Did you actually play Pogs?
Not really.
I'd never
seen
anyone
just about
actually
looking at them. I also, I had a terrible collection of Pogs. It was just like the, it was like the remnant bin, I'm sure.
You had a third string character from Earthworm Jim.
Yeah, I just had like one slammer at the end of the day.
I had a slammer with O.J. Simpson behind bars on it. If that's not the most early 90s object on earth, then I don't know what it is.
I don't really remember what was on my Pogs because I feel like, again, it was like off-brand characters. Like it was nothing.
It just could be anything.
Yeah.
There was no logic to it. It's just little circle cardboard pieces with pictures on them.
Culture was just starting back
then. For any of you that were not born within the very specific 3 years required to be into Pogs, Pogs are just like crappy marbles where you get a bunch of circled cardboard discs, you stack them up, and
if
then
you
someone
don't
takes
know
a
what Pogs
slam,
are.
Slammer, and you throw the slammer down on it, and all of the Pogs that flip over, you get to keep or something like that. Not a good game. I'm sure.
It was not a playable game. It was more just about like collecting little pieces of cardboard.
The same as marbles. Maybe the same as Beyblades. Okay, so, but Beth, what I want to know, if we're Beyblades, are we able to move? Are we sentient Beyblades? Do we have muscles? Because
I know nothing about this world. I feel like I'm at the mercy of a child to spin me like a top. That's what I'm picturing.
That's what Elizabeth is doing to us. She's spinning us like Beyblades, and we're helpless to do anything about it. And one of us got split into three pieces.
Yeah, I don't feel hopeful about this situation at all.
Our date
I've just been
screwed.
Plunged into it. I don't know the rules of the world. My husband is in three pieces.
Oh, so it's me. Great.
I'm assuming, because the question is being framed at me as though I have some sort of choice in what's happening going forward.
And you're in an arena.
Yeah, just twirling, I assume.
Here's what I would do, Elizabeth. I would use the sheer force of will to scrunch up my face and will myself to come back together, but not as a spinning Beyblade. I don't even know if I'm saying this right, by the way. Beyblade? Beyblade? But I would come back together so that the three pieces is basically one peg leg and two little arms. And then I'd jump up and I'd smack those kids that are spinning us the face and I'd say, hey, you put us back to wherever we came from. All right?
You're like the lamest Toy Story character ever.
Toy Story, you put us back.
They're like, Peter, you're ruining the whole point of the world that we don't talk to them.
Screw that. They did it in Toy Story 1. That was the end of that's the whole climax of the movie. They never did it again. Snap out of it. Pinch me. We're asleep. Then we wake up and we have our date. Did it. Nailed it.
Well, I think we all learned our lesson.
We call in our friends the Pogs. Well, fantastic. Did we do it? Did we answer it?
I think so.
Nice.
This next segment is called Listeners Want to Knows. It's where we take questions and comments from you guys.
Oh, we got a follow-up email from our friend Ivan, who wrote to us about his very big baby. He's got a very big baby, and the baby continues to be very big.
Did you see there was a – you probably didn't see this. Someone tweeted out a excerpt from an Amy Adams interview where she referred to her co-star as a big boy.
What context?
The context is that she was getting distracted on set because her co-star is a very attractive 6'5" man. And this was like some old movie she did, Miss Pettigrew or whatever. But she was talking about how she was getting really distracted and the director came over and had to like ask this actor to leave the set. But I just loved that she described him as a big boy. And
I was going to say, yeah, I didn't know that could mean a lot of things until you described that person. Now it's very endearing.
Mm-hmm. It was great. Am I
your big boy?
Sure. You're like above average boy. You're like 70th percentile, I guess.
Very slightly above average sized boy. Great. I'm going to skim a little here, but Ivan did send us a chart of baby's weight, and I can assure you that this is a big baby. But that's not what this email is about.
Hey, Ivan, just for the women out here, next time send pictures, okay?
This is a picture.
You said a chart.
A picture of a chart.
No, I mean send pictures of this big boy baby.
Beth wants to see this big old baby.
I'm sorry. If for a future reference, if you're going to email me about your large baby, send a picture of this baby. I'm sorry, those are the rules.
No, I was going to skim over this part, but okay. Ivan talks about...
A woman would never send a chart and not a picture of the baby. I'm sorry.
Anyway, Ivan says, I just wanted to share some of my parenting wins also. As of 2 weeks ago, I found out I could put my son to sleep within 15 minutes. Okay. Bragging. No bottles needed. It would comprise of a small routine. One, I put on white noise machine, made mainly hair dryer sound, and hug him while caressing his eyebrows. 5 minutes of going from awake to sleepy. 5 minutes of crying because he is sleepy. 5 minutes of making sure he is out and making a ninja move so he doesn't wake up. Because of this, me and my wife were able to get 2 hours back every evening, just the two of us. Now, as of yesterday, and I don't know why, but he doesn't cry anymore. I know twice is not yet a pattern, but still, I dare to be hopeful. Another win is basically that I found out also yesterday that if he sleeps on his side instead of his back, he wakes up half as often. Incredibly happy about it, considering tomorrow is my birthday. Happy birthday! I'm taking both of these wins as a fantastic gift. In the odd chance you read this out loud too, please give a shout out to my loving wife, Laura, and to my big baby, Finn. Thank you.
Hi, Laura. Hi, big baby Finn.
Shout out, big baby Finn. And for being so funny and inspiring. Lots of love, Yvonne.
Great job, Ivan. That's
again, I think I said last time, I didn't know if it was Ivan or Yvonne. Who does live in Germany, but from Brazil. And he mentioned that that's not a typical name for Brazil. So I'm thinking, if it's Portuguese, would you say Ivan?
No.
We'll need a 30 email to find out.
If he wanted us to pronounce it other than Ivan, he should have mentioned in the email.
You got a lot of criticism here, Beth. You need a picture and a phonetic spelling of your name.
I just think... I'm saying this with love. In the year of our Lord 2020, if you don't understand engagement and, you know, put a picture for the algorithm of my brain.
For the algorithm of Beth.
The Beth algorithm likes a big chunky baby. And I don't just want to hear about it. And if I was just going to hear about it, describe the chunkiness.
You want to know how many folds
paint a
there
picture
are?
For my ears. Yes, I do want to know how many folds there are.
Let me imagine. You want to sniff that baby, that sleepy chunky baby.
Yeah. Anyway,
I relate to this feeling of, especially when putting kids to bed, when you like figure something out, and it might be helpful. This might work for somebody, but a lot of times it doesn't. It works for you and your child, but it doesn't mean it's not a wonderful
yeah.
victory. It's that feeling. And it's like...
Men love to have hacks. Their parenting all has to be hacks.
Baby hacks, baby charts. We want tangible progress.
My baby is an 8. He
oh,
goes down
baby.
In a 7.
Thanks, it's a... my baby's an 8. I thought you were just ranking the baby. I'm really proud of my baby. He's like an 8.
I mean, isn't that what you guys are doing?
Yeah, we get together. We go to the playground. We're like, check out that baby. That's a 4. That baby.
Anyway,
do you remember how your routine for putting either of our children to sleep before they did it themselves?
I remember doing a lot of rocking, some futile singing.
The singing was more for me.
Singing was for me to like pass the time because I was just like, I know this asshole's not closing his eyes for 5 minutes or more.
The big ball, a lot of bouncing on that ball.
Yeah.
I bounce on the ball and I would twist my torso left and right.
I really
the baby would get in the back and forth and the up and down.
I really don't miss all of that. So whatever way you can hack through it and feel like you're making progress is great.
However you want to hack your baby, it's great.
I do think hacks are good, like a good way of men learning how to engage with their baby. Like the truth is the baby is just bonding with you and they're getting comfort out of their parent bonding. So it's good. It's great.
Yeah, of course it is.
But I think it's funny.
It's just not how you would do it.
It's not. Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't know. I'm sure I've done all sorts of crazy things when I was tired and wanted a baby to go to sleep.
Yeah, but the rare times a thing would change and you'd be like, I don't have to do this anymore. I'd have to give it credit to some new thing. I was like, I figured it out. Here's how you do this. And doing this podcast has really helped me also to resist that urge in me to then tell everybody, this is the way.
This is how babies work.
This is how babies work.
All babies work just the way this one worked for 5 minutes just now.
Because this, I would tell a friend, this is how it works. And then 2 weeks later, they come back and I've been trying that thing. And I was like, oh yeah, no, that stopped working for me too. That worked for 2 days.
Also, then you have a second kid and realize that they're completely different.
Yeah, they're a different person. And I don't give a crap how the 3 months you spent bouncing on a ball with some other kid.
Yeah.
But I also, yeah, again, I really relate to that. Like, it's 5 minutes of this, then it's 5 minutes of this, and it's 5 minutes of that. I did it. We can go to sleep. And on that note, we're going to go to sleep. This has been another episode of We Know's Parenting. We would like to hear your parent success stories, your parent struggles. Questions.
Yeah, I liked hearing that success story. I felt happy for Ivan.
You know what? Let's do some bragging this week, parents.
Do some bragging.
Brag to us about what you figured out that works for your child. We want to hear it. You can email us at weknowspod@gmail.com.
Yes.
Or a voicemail. We haven't had a voicemail in a while.
You say that the 1 week I don't have the voicemail. Okay, here we go.
Oh, I saw you looking down. I thought that's what you were doing.
I was looking for it. Okay. You can leave us a voicemail at 347-384-7396.
Follow us on Instagram, if you would. weknowspod@gmail.com. Or our individual accounts, if you want funny content of those children. To Facebook, Twitter, those things. Rate and review the podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, please.
Buy my book, There's No Manual, Honest and Gory Wisdom About Having a Baby.
On sale now, and we'll see you next time. Me.
Bye.